failure and vulnerability are the very element of spiritual growth and personal wisdom. What goes wrong for us as much as what goes right, what we know to be our flaws as much as what we know to be our strengths, these make hope reasonable and lived virtue possible. They are part of our gift to the world. This is Becoming Wise, an inquiry into the mystery and art of living. I'm Krista Tippett. Brené Brown has become a sought-out teacher in all kinds of settings, at every level of leadership, on this ancient, basic truth that had been lost from our common vocabulary for generations. It all began with research she did at the University of Houston's Graduate College of Social Work, where she's a professor.
I always ask a very simple question to people. I just say, think of the last time you did something that you thought was really brave, or the last time you saw someone do something really brave. You know, I think without question, and I can tell you as a researcher, 11,000 pieces of data, I cannot find a single example of courage, moral courage, spiritual courage, leadership courage, relational courage. I cannot find a single example of courage in my research that was not born completely of vulnerability. And so I think we buy into some mythology about vulnerability being weakness and being gullibility and being frailty because it gives us permission not to do it.
Brené Brown's own life as a self-professed classic perfectionist was turned inside out by these findings. She went on to share what she was learning at a TEDx talk in her Houston hometown. That has since become one of the most widely viewed TED Talks of all time, despite an arguably unappealing title, Listening to Shame. I love learning that she stumbled on old, new truths that sound negative in modern ears while researching the nature of wholehearted lives.
I start thinking, you know, what I'm looking for are these kind of very wholehearted people. So I started coding data and looking for patterns and themes and words. And they started emerging very quickly. And I just started to put together lists like, here are the things that wholehearted men and women really consciously choose, and here are the things that they push away from. And I just remember looking up and looking at the kind of do not do list, and it just described my entire life. I'm like, I'm on the wrong list.
So what was on it? Well, let me just ask you this before that.
Yeah.
So did you think that you were going to find that these people had been better parented or had less trauma or had better support systems? I mean, what did you think?
Oh, I had a lot of self-righteousness about that a little. I think I thought, well, these people, you know, the people who believe in their worthiness, their lives probably panned out extremely well.
Better, yeah.
Yeah, like
right.
These are the people who...
They were dealt a better hand of cards.
They were. Their nail
you.
Polish yeah. doesn't chip, no stretch marks, no struggles,
yeah.
you know. But there wasn't the case. There wasn't, you know, there weren't fewer divorces or bankruptcies or history of trauma or addiction. I mean, they were just like the general population in terms of those variables. They were just like everyone else.
So what was on the list that described you?
Perfectionism, judgment, exhaustion as a status symbol, productivity as self-worth, cool, what do people think? Performing, proving, quest for certainty. Such a pretty picture.
Yeah. And was vulnerability, the way you use the word now, just kind of an underlying quality of these lives?
Yeah.
Of wholeheartedness?
Absolutely.
Creativity, play, rest?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, these were folks who... They show up in their lives without a lot of guarantees. I remember sitting at that table a couple of days later, when kind of making the decision that I was going to put the data away and get a therapist. and I did. But I remember thinking, does this mean that our capacity for wholeheartedness can never be greater than our willingness to be brokenhearted?
And this gets back to our cultural allergy to vulnerability. What we have done with this primal sense of vulnerability, and I think, you know, which is not a good and a bad impulse, our need to protect, is that we've gone perfectionistic on this.
We have. I think the part that really pushed me kind of to getting help and wanting to live differently was what I was seeing about parenting. That this whole idea that who we are and how we engage with the world is such a far more accurate predictor of how our children will do than what we know about parenting.
Right.
And I'll start by saying I agree with you. I think we're in a gentle, quiet awakening period right now.
Yeah.
But I started my research just very coincidentally 6 months before 9/11. Mm-hmm. And so over the course of the last 12 years, I have seen fear absolutely run roughshod over our families.
Yeah.
And I have seen us go to these crazy lengths to protect ourselves and our children from the uncertainty that the world has become. And I've not only seen that through my lens as a researcher, but certainly experienced it as a parent, but as a college professor. Mm-hmm. You know, this is my 15th year teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I only teach master's and doctoral level students, but I see students come to us who have never had experiences, real experiences with adversity.
Yeah.
And how that shows up is hopelessness. You know, one of the most interesting things I've found in doing this work is, you know, something the Wholehearted share in common is this real profound sense of hopefulness.
Yeah.
And as I got into the literature on hope, very specifically C.R. Schneider's work from the University of Kansas at Lawrence, that hope is a function of struggle.
Right. I think that's one of the most stunning sentences that I saw in your writing.
Yeah, and that hope is not an emotion, but hope is a cognitive behavioral process that we learn when we experience adversity, when we have relationships that are trustworthy, when people have faith in our ability to get out of a jam.
Right, which is different from this pattern of having faith in us, which means telling us everything we do is wonderful and shielding us from pain as long as they can. And, you know, again, it's like, boy, we know this, don't we? This desire that you have to create a beautiful world and life and experience for these people you love.
But you know what? I think we lose sight of the beauty, the most beautiful things I look back on in my life are coming out from underneath things I didn't know I could get out from underneath.
Yeah.
You know, the moments I look back in my life and think, God, those are the moments that made me, were moments of struggle.
Brené Brown's latest book on courage, vulnerability, and worthiness is Rising Strong. Becoming Wise is an inquiry into the mystery and art of living. And now it's a book. Find more at onbeing.org/becomingwise.